And Michael Thompson is here on a Wednesday. And Michael made reference to a story I told in Super Crosstalk. Mm-hmm. I got paid. My wife discovered, she handles all our finances. And she discovered that since July, I've been getting paid twice. The accounting department made a mistake, and they're paying me my old contract and my new contract. So I'm getting paid twice. And I decided, once she pointed it out to me, to basically turn myself in. I sent an email to Scott McCarthy, our boss, and said, "Hey, Scott, here's what's going on. They're paying me twice. Let me." And he looked into it. He goes, "Yeah, you're right." He goes, "They made an accounting error, and so now you got a couple options to pay it back. You can send them a check, or you can just have it deducted out of future paychecks." That's what I opted to do. But I asked the question yesterday: was I a chump? Was I stupid for basically pointing it out? I could have just written it out and see if they ever discovered it. Now, Jorge and Bergman both said they would not have told their boss. They just would have let it ride, see if it gets discovered, and if it doesn't, they would just take it as a bonus.
See, I had no idea.
Right.
You can't do that.
Ramona, you say I did the right thing.
100%.
And Michael, now you, this is your first opportunity to weigh in on it. Say what? Did I handle it correctly?
Oh, yeah, because number one, it's wrong. They're probably going to, accounting will probably find the error somewhere down the line. And number two.
Probably, but not for sure.
Yeah, probably not for sure. But number two, like, who was it? Somebody said, Travis said, your conscience, your mind, it would be on your mind every day, wondering if you're going to get caught or is it going to catch up to you? Do you want to put up with that stress every day of worrying about that? No, it's not worth it.
Yeah, that's kind of the conclusion.
Bergman, so if you looked at your bank account one day and it was extra $100,000 in there, would you not turn it into the bank?
$100,000?
Yeah.
Sometimes that mistake happens. If it was $100,000, I'd be like, hey, something went a little bit wrong here.
Would you let the bank know?
Yeah, for $100,000?
Well, yeah. What's the difference?
Well, Greg, that's a massive amount that I'm not going to be able to pay back.
But Greg, using that logic, this would have eventually gotten there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eventually?
Yeah, if they're paying me double every time.
Yeah, it would have been incrementally where I probably tried not notice.
Right, but the longer I wait to turn myself in, the bigger the problem it creates.
Jorge,
right?
What about you? You find an extra $100,000 in your account, you're going to let the bank know?
Yeah, you have to. It's $100,000.
You would not. Yeah. You are set. I know you. You absolutely would not.
Because that has happened to people before. All of a sudden, there's $1 million.
Jorge would not point that. You would do this. You would go, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't. I never noticed.
I did. I'll switch banks, by the way."
They're still going to come for that money.
I mean, for people like me, you know, and maybe Jorge, if going from $500 to $100,000. $500 total to $100,000 total.
Okay,
it's a little bit of a difference.
Let's say it's $20,000.
A little bit.
An extra $20,000.
That's still a massive difference.
Right. Yeah.
What's the cutoff for you? An extra $500? You say, I'm keeping this one.
Yeah, well, if there's extra $500, you're like, I had no idea.
Yeah, well, the amount does matter. Like,
it does matter.
Like, if you're at an El Pollo Loco and you hand somebody a 20 to pay a $15 tab, and they by mistake hand you 15 back, you would probably not make a big deal out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
But...
Did you pocket it? You say you'd pocket it, the extra 15?
Well, no, if I noticed right away, I would just say, hey, you gave me too much.
Right.
Yeah.
But if I did it later, would I drive back?
Right.
Probably not over $10.
Yeah, not for 10 bucks.
Yeah. But for this, I think you kind of have to.
Oh, yeah.
Because eventually, if you get caught, it's going to create a huge problem.
So you've probably figured this out about me by now, John. I'm fairly gullible.
Mm-hmm. So am I, by the way.
Right, yeah, because we're very earnest
people. We tend to see the best in people.
And you could really get me on a lot of things. Like, later on, I'll be like, oh, I should have saw that coming. Like, I've gotten a little more savvy, you know, but I'm still pretty gullible. And it also means I'm a terrible liar. Like, I just can't do it.
Right.
I feel it. I get nervous. And Nevin's had
to,
like...
Which is weird because you're good at lie of the day.
Yeah, I'm good at lie of the day. I think it's because I have permission. It's kind of fun for me, right? Like, I'm supposed to lie.
Or I could be a bad girl.
Right, yeah.
All right.
But I'm really bad at it. And Nevin used to be, I think he's a good liar at other things. He just can't lie to me because he gets that look on his face. I can tell when he's lying because he like smirks and something. But he told me the secret to lying is to say as little as possible, right? Like if you're going to do some kind of untruth, if you're going to do something, just say as little as possible. Less is more. The more you add to it, the more you try to sell it, the more you try to believe it yourself,
the
worse
it
is. You got to remember. But it's also like sometimes there's a lot of things that are, it's not quite a lie, but it's sort of an untruth or it's a half-truth.
Yeah. You're leaving a few things out.
Just leave a few things out.
Yeah.
Right? So like, if you just didn't know with this, Like, if you just didn't notice it, or you just kind of...
How do you not notice it?
I know, but it's a lot of money.
I wouldn't have noticed it, but Lisa would have.
Yeah. And you would have felt it all the time.
Yeah.
You'd have been wondering, hey, did they do this with Mason too? Or like, if you said something.
I just realized I totally hosed Mason. I probably took the choice.
You don't think Mason would turn himself in?
No way.
Well, now
come on.
Now he kind of has to, right? Now they're going to look at him too.
No, but I mean, even if you never brought it up, you don't think Mason would have said something to them?
I don't know.
Does it also matter who is being hurt to you? Okay, so like.
Well, Mason, to answer your question, Michael, we had a scenario one day on Wheel of Questions where we said you walk out of a bank and into the parking lot, and on the ground is a bag with $10,000 in it. Yeah. You just found it. What would you do? And I said I would take it into the bank.
How do you know it's the bank's money? That says it's
in a bag. No, that's what Bergman and Jorge and Mason all said. They said they would pocket it. They'd take it. Finders keepers. What would you guys do?
That's interesting. $10,000 just in an anonymous, like the bank's name's not on, just in a regular bag.
In a brown paper bag on the floor of the parking lot.
Yeah, no identification on
it. I don't think that's the bank's money.
Yeah, right.
Because the bank money would be in like a Brinks truck, like an official looking bag.
Right, so what do you do?
I think it's just your lucky day.
Yeah.
Maybe you look around to see if anybody left it there or something. But
yeah, I'd look around.
Okay, how about this? What if it had a note on top of the bag that said, don't?
Oh.
Whoa. Yes, then you know someone's watching.
Right.
I wouldn't take it. If it said don't on it, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, no.
Bergman said he would.
It's like bad juju.
Bergman said he'd crumple up that note, take the money, and go.
No, it's like somebody put it there to test you or something.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't touch it. If it said don't on it.
Like, I do think it matters who's getting hurt by this. Like, you getting double paid is just some accounting error that Disney, big, giant, multinational corporation.
Well, I said to Lisa when I was trying to justify my actions, I said to Lisa, you know, I actually genuinely like the people that work here.
Uh-huh.
I like the camaraderie here. I think we have a really good company. Yeah. And if it would cost somebody else their job, I'd feel really bad about it. And then she pointed out to me, she goes, yeah, but you get paid by ESPN and they get paid by Good Karma.
Right.
So ESPN, this is just taking money from Stephen A. Smith. He gets enough.
It's not taken from him. It's not taken from him. It's taken from somebody in Burbank.
I think it all comes from Disney, right?
Yeah, it's all Disney.
So that's one of the reasons why it maybe never would have been discovered. To them, it's small potatoes.
Totally.
To me, it's not.
Yeah.
So that's why I think Bergman and Jorge said, man, you should have just written it out and see if you got caught.
It's all on record, man. They'd find it. It's not like it's anonymous cash.
I'm sure they would find it at some point, but I don't think, it would take a long, long time. You may have been able to go through your entire next contract and never gotten caught.
I know. That's what's going to keep me up at night. All right. So Bergman found this story. Justin Turner, early in his career, was basically a reserve. He played for the Mets. He was a role player. The Dodgers signed him, Ned Colletti, back in the day, signed him to a free agent contract, and he's turned out to be a great player and an all-star and a cornerstone of the Dodgers. So what took him from average backup utility guy to all-star third baseman? He told Greg, where'd you find this? Who did he tell this to?
To Barstool Sports.
Okay. He was asked, you know, what helped you change your career, your swing? And he said, of all people, Zach Greinke. Listen to this.
What I learned through a conversation with Zach Greinke, actually, in 2015, we were sitting on the bench, and I asked him, I said, Zach, if you were pitching to me, like, how would you get me out? And in true Zach fashion, he said,
brutal honesty.
He said, let me go look at the numbers. Let me go dig into this. He wasn't going to just like shout some bullshit at me, right? Like, he's like, I'm gonna go do a full scouting report on you. So, hey, sitting in the dugout again, he comes up and he said, hey, I would throw you 100 straight fastballs down and away. And I'm like, Zach, are you crazy? Like, I get most of my hit, like 70% of my hits are the other way. And he's like, yeah, but do you know where the pitch locations are on that? Like, you handle the ball closer to you and you hit those balls to the opposite field. He's like, no, you can pull them too, but most of your hits that go the other way are balls closer to you. And I was like, really? And he's like, yeah. And he kind of showed me the whole thing. You know how they have those little boxes like in the
in the bottom left
outside
corner.
Bottom corner of the box, I was hitting like 120. And I'm like, holy. And I'm like, so Zach, like, if you were me, what would you do? Would you stand as close to the plate as you possibly could? And he's like, I would stand like on top of the plate because like you're hitting 300 everything in and you're hitting 100 everything away. Like, he's like, just get on the plate. And I was like, all right. And from that day forth, I stood on the plate, and now I hold the all-time hit-by-pitch record for the Dodgers. So,
because people are trying to back him off the plate. But, Michael, isn't that interesting, the game within the game that I don't know if you ever talked to Trace about hitting, but they know where your weakness is.
Yeah.
It's smart to talk to a guy who pitched against you to find out what they thought of where his weaknesses
were. Well, and what's interesting is, you know, pitchers can get cocky too. Last night, you pointed this out earlier. Last night, they threw a pitch in Trace's first at bat. There were two men on. They threw a pitch right down the middle, and both Joe Davis and Oral Hershiser said, Trace should have swung at that. Mm-hmm. That's right in where he likes it and where he could have done something with it. And I'm very surprised that Corbin Burnes got away with that. And Trace missed it, and that was his chance. And then two pitches later, this happened.
Here it comes. Thompson crosses the ball. Way back and gone.
Michael Burnes came right back to the exact spot that Trace passed on. So there's a cat and mouse game going on here. I mean, like, I guess he just assumed Trace would let it go again.
Yeah.
And he just, I mean, Joe Davis said it. He crushed it. This was like 15 rows up the pavilion in left field. And I don't know why you would ever throw a pitch right down the middle to a professional major league hitter.
We see it all the time. A guy swing and miss it all the time.
It depends on the count, too.
Yeah.
Right. If you're way ahead in the count or behind in the count, you think maybe they're going to take.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Bergman, I think the Dodgers have found their closer. He has not given up an inning, a run, and four innings of relief.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hanser Alberto.
Yeah, he's got
he went 1-2-3 last night.
Yeah, he's got an ERA of 0.0.
That's right.
All right, coming up next, Fox TV has made an interesting hire for their college football show. We'll get into that. And there was this, I'm sure most of you guys saw this. There was a Yankee fan drinking a beer in the strangest way I've ever seen. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
All right, I'll share it with you coming up next.
Hey, Ramona, if the internet had a boat, where would they park it?
I don't know where.
In Google Docs.
Oh, I like that.
You know, these are actually getting worse.
No, I like that one. I like that one.
That is so bad.
It's the delivery, too. Right. Like, if I delivered,
more
it
dad
really
jokes
bad.
Coming up. Yep. ESPN LA. All right, Mason in Ireland. Momo's here for Mace. Michael Thompson's here because it's Wednesday.
Can I ask you guys a baseball question?
Yeah,
Bergman's here too. Bergman knows baseball better than anyone around here, including Travis Rogers. Bergman, Albert Pujols is 693 home runs, right?
Yes.
Career.
Yep.
Let's say he hits six more.
And he,
five more.
By the way, he's hit six over like the past 6 days.
Yeah. Well, let's say he finishes a 698.
Ooh,
should he come? Should he come back next year to get the 700, Greg?
Yep.
Would that be cheaper?
I mean, for us, the fans, yes, but I don't think he will.
He says he's absolutely out for sure after this year, no matter what number he sits on.
Wow.
Now, if I'm the Cardinals are destroying people. They've won something like 17 out of 19 games. I would find, they have a really young manager, this Oliver Marmol. Mm-hmm. I would find a way to get Albert at bats in every game for the rest of the season. Because he's killing them.
He's a DH, right? That's what he's doing.
Yeah, and you know what? They actually can.
They've only been playing him against lefties, but he's hitting homers against righties. Yeah. He's like Trace. It doesn't matter
he's
what arm
OPS
the pitcher throws
with.
He's
the best OPS in baseball since the All-Star break, or since the trade deadline. He is the baseball postseason this year is really interesting. They have three wild cards and the three division winners. And the wild card is not a single game anymore. It's a three-game series, but it's at the home park. Okay, so the third place winner, the team with the division winner with the third worst record, or the worst record of the division winners, is going to be the Cardinals. It's going to be
right.
The Dodgers in the West and either the Mets or the Braves in the East. And then the Cardinals are probably going to hold off the Brewers. I think they're like 5.5
Bergman,
and a
half
if
he up. Hits home runs in the postseason, those count towards his career total, don't they?
They don't. Sure so don't. If I'm the Cardinals, they really don't have a lot to play for down the stretch. Like, they're kind of locked into that third spot. And so, like, I would just play Albert every day. Like, there's no reason
by
to.
By the way, backing up to what I just asked. Home runs in the postseason are more valuable than in the regular season. Why wouldn't you count those home runs?
Because not every team is playing in the postseason. Yeah.
Right, but it's not like I didn't hit them. You know, how many home runs did Hank Aaron hit in the postseason? Yeah, come on.
Let's find out.
Not everybody's. Everybody plays 162. Not everybody plays
okay,
in the
this
postseason.
Is going to sound like a dumb question and that I should really know the answer to. When you do an all-time scoring leaders, do LeBron's, is that regular season?
Regular season.
So LeBron has way more points if you count the postseason.
Yeah, so does Kareem, though.
Yeah.
So does Kareem.
Okay.
And I think LeBron's already past Kareem when you count total points and playoff points. He's already past Kareem.
That's interesting.
Yeah, but they, but I guess back for that same reason because everybody plays 162. Yeah, Michael, I think he's done. I think this is his last year.
Six, he could retire on 698 or 699.
I'm trying
Come on.
By the way, Hank Aaron has six postseason home runs.
That's it, huh?
Yep.
The interesting thing is how many guys – look this up, Greg – how many guys have hit 700 home runs? Bonds,
I know off the
Aaron,
top of
Bonds Ruth,
Aaron, Ruth,
A-Rod?
And no, A-Rod's at 695. Yeah.
So is it just those three?
Yeah.
Bonds, Aaron, Ruth?
Wow.
That have hit over 700? So, it's significant.
Yeah, it is. That's a heck of a milestone.
All right. Hey, what do you guys think about Fox, the TV network, hiring Urban Meyer to be on their college football show?
He's dull.
Yeah, and he's not great on TV.
No.
He embarrassed himself tenfold.
Oh.
It's not like you would want to hear his advice for college kids because he was out in a bar trying to pick up a college kid. It's a weird hire, isn't it?
Picking up, she was rubbing on him.
Well, what do you think he was trying to do?
Well, he was just
take her out to lunch?
He was sitting there minding his own business and she started twerking.
Yeah.
He just laid back and was just like, oh,
poor,
you want to
poor innocent Urban Meyer.
I saw the video.
But it is a weird hire, Ramona, isn't
weird.
It?
Weird. It's just...
That show has Rob Stone, who's really good, Matt Leiner, Reggie Bush, Brady Quinn, and now Urban.
He was on
Urban.
That Stone before. He was on that show
before. Yeah, before he went to the Jags.
So, like, if this was like John Gruden, who was great on TV.
Right.
I mean, look, he got canceled and there were things that he said that were really bad and all that. But I could see after a period of time, I could see somebody hiring him again because he was great on TV. Like, you kind of forgive bad behavior sometimes when somebody's, like, good for ratings, right?
Yeah.
Urban wasn't that good. He was just fine.
Like Michael says,
like,
he was kind of dull.
Dull. I'm not tuning. Oh, I can't wait to hear what Urban has to say. No.
I know. Right?
I don't get it. I mean, John Madden, people like that. Charles Barkley. Shaq. Can't wait to hear what they have to say about Meyer. Or listen to hear from Oscar Meyer.
By the way, Michael, you weren't here yesterday when we played this. I don't know if we still have it, Jorge. Do we have Shaq yesterday? Talking about the best player in the NBA.
Best player in the NBA? Oh,
I'm looking at my screen, and I don't see it. But
I often hear this argument.
Okay, here he is. Listen, Kenny Smith was asked, what do you think of the West this year, and who's going to win it? Mm-hmm. And Kenny and Shaq were on the same podcast. Listen to Shaq at the end here.
I want to see the Lakers and the Clippers healthy. I want to see what they look like when they're healthy. Because the West could be the toughest it's been since the O'Neal era. If they're both, if Kawhi Leonard and Anthony Davis are healthy, along with the Phoenix Suns, Dallas Mavericks, like this could be one of the best Western conferences we've had.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You don't like the West?
I do, but nobody's going to beat the best player in the world, Steph Curry.
Best player in the world? Steph Curry's the best player in the world?
Yeah, by far.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
Best shooter in the world. Best player in the world.
Best player. As Kenny would tell you, you can have a category, but the real ones are recognized by the championships that you have. Nobody plays better than Steph Curry.
So, Michael, I love Steph. I think Steph's a great player.
Oh, yeah.
But if we were having a draft of, if everybody became a free agent today and you and I were building a team and we had first pick, I think I would take Giannis. Mm-hmm. I think I would take LeBron. Yeah. I think I would take Embiid. Maybe Jokic. Maybe Luka. I would not take Steph with the number one pick, would you?
I mean, sure, if you're talking, you're not crazy, the way he impacts the game offensively with a shooting range. We saw what he did in the finals. But the best player in the game, to me, my criteria, Ramona, to be the best player in basketball, people forget, basketball is played on both ends. What made Jordan and Kobe and LeBron in his prime so good and the greatest is they could get 30 on you and they could stop you from getting 30.
That's right. So
Steph, as great as he is offensively, he's mercurial, if that's the right word. He is amazing. But you got to be able to impact the game on the defensive end as much as you do on the offensive end to be called the best player in the game. And as good as Steph is on offense, he can be a liability on defense. Giannis, not the greatest shooter, but somehow he can find a way to get 50.
Yep.
And he can also shut you down.
Same
on the
thing
other
with
end.
Embiid, though.
Exactly, Embiid. So to me, the best player in the game, like a Kobe and a Jordan did, and a young LeBron did, have to be able to dominate the game on both ends of the court. That's
Ramona,
the best
would
player.
You take Steph with the first pick?
Sure, it's not. You're not crazy.
About, so, if I was starting a franchise,
yeah, sure. No, you're trying to win the title this season.
This season,
it's a one season tournament.
Sure, you could work around his defensive deficiencies as we've seen how the Warriors have
done. He's an unbelievable player and a great guy and a great leader. I was surprised Shaq said hands down best player in the NBA.
Do that. He's not the best player.
It's crazy because we had real conversations like is Steph on the Mount Rushmore? Is Steph top 10 all time?
Top 10 all time?
I don't know.
Maybe.
I mean,
sneak it in there.
How can you be top 10 all time if you were never the answer to the question of best player in the game?
In the game.
Well, he's won two MVPs.
Some people are saying
I know, but
during
his era, okay, so the era that he has played,
he's
never been the best player in the game.
Because he played in LeBron. He
played in LeBron's gear. Because he played with LeBron.
But wait a minute, the years he won the MVP, you don't think he deserved it?
Oh, I think he deserved it, but most valuable player doesn't mean best player.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Right? And I would always say every year that LeBron played, LeBron's been the best player in the league.
Yeah.
Well, LeBron might be the best player ever. I mean,
yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
could
I mean, he's in that conversation.
Yes,
I don't think I would take Steph number one if it was just this year, but he'd be.
Oh yeah, he's in the conversation. Yeah. And you're not crazy if you did take him.
I'm probably going Giannis too.
All right, coming up next, that hot dog story we're going to get to, and an update on Odell Beckham Jr. and where he might be playing.
You got something new?
New.
Hey, Ramona.
Brand new.
You know, I used to be a bus driver, but I quit. You know why?
Why?
I couldn't stand people talking behind my back.
Oh,
ba-dum-pa.
I like that,
That's
Michael.
That's a good one, Greg.
That's a good one.
Charles Dickens walks into a bar and orders a martini. The bartender says what, Ramona?
I don't know.
Olive or twist?
Oh!
How do you miss these
things?
That
wasn't as good.
Hey, Ramona, what do you call a laughing motorcycle?
I don't know, Michael. What
Yamaha.
Do you call
Yamaha.
These are as bad as you think they are. Mason in Ireland, ESPN LA.
Good.
Mason in Ireland. Momo's here. Michael Thompson is here. He's got Game of Games coming up in about 10 minutes.
Pepe
Montilla, who won 2 weeks ago. How did Michael, who won your game when I was gone?
Who did win that game?
You remember, Greg?
I don't remember.
Did Pepe win again?
What was the game about?
Did Pepe play?
Yeah, I think Pepe played. Pepe played. Pepe again. Was it Pepe, Jorge?
Pepe didn't play because, no.
Pepe didn't play. He was out of the country.
I think Greg won.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
All right, well, wait. The new game is coming up in 10 minutes. All right, so there's this video making its way around. It's a viral video making its way around the internet of a fan at Yankee Stadium. So you got to just kind of picture this. I'll describe it to you. Michael buys a hot dog, all right? He chucks the bun. Just gets rid of it, takes the hot dog, and puts a straw, now holds it lengthwise, puts a straw through the middle of the hot dog. In other words, the straw starts at the tip end of the hot dog and runs all the way through it.
It's like making a tunnel through the hot dog.
All right?
Okay.
Then takes the straw with the hot dog wrapped around
it. It's a strong straw.
Right. And then, so... Here it is. He takes the straw with the hot dog wrapped around it. He dips it in a beer and uses it to drink the beer. Okay? So I've never seen anyone drink a beer like this.
What's the purpose of the hot dog?
The hot dog is apparently...
It's like functioning as a straw.
As a swivel stick to give the beer a different flavor.
Oh.
Now, I mean, everybody loves hot dogs with a beer.
Yeah.
You just cut out the middleman.
I've never seen anything like this.
Right.
Bergman, What is your opinion of this as a food choice? A straw through the center of a hot dog, stir the beer, and drink the beer through the straw.
He needs to be banned from the stadium. He needs no. He does not need to be around people any longer.
What does he do with the hot dog when the beer is gone? Does he eat it?
They don't. The video does not last that long.
Oh, okay.
Apparently, part of that what happened was somebody actually knew this person and says that he does this with tea also.
Huh? He puts tea. a hot dog?
A yeah. hot dog, and he uses it for his tea.
He wanted a beer battered hot dog.
Well, it certainly
is. Oh, Jorge.
Jorge.
Now, what?
You should be on dad jokes.
Yeah, what's interesting? Does when the beer is empty, does he just chuck the hot dog or does he eat it?
You probably eat it.
Yeah.
It tastes good at that
point. It's been soaked in beer at this point.
Right.
Now,
that sounds all right.
Okay.
That's not right? The gross part. The eating of the hot dog is not the gross part. It's the tasting of the beer like that.
And I don't know anybody. Oh. This is just me, maybe. I've never seen anybody drink beer with a straw.
Me either.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
That's what, I mean, is this more an affront to the hot dog or to the beer?
I think to the beer.
Yeah, I think it's more to the beer.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Nobody drinks beer with a straw? What is that?
Yeah.
I mean, it tastes good together. Like when I go to spring training and I get a hot dog, I want to have a beer with it.
Right.
Like that's the drink
right,
of choice.
But not like this.
No.
Strange.
This doesn't make any sense.
You know what's good about the video too is that he's clearly not doing this for attention. Like he's not aware somebody's filming him.
Oh, okay,
it's like shot from like a ways up in the stands, yeah. And like somebody just thought to film him. Unless this was all staged, but like this is authentic. This guy was not trying to go viral. He just likes the beer straw hot dog.
Yeah, if you just Google Yankee fan beer hot dog, you can watch it. It's super weird.
It's just weird.
Yeah,
it's a strange combination you eat, Ramona, that we would think is kind of strange.
Do you think it's weird? I put ketchup on my macaroni and cheese.
So Michael puts ketchup on everything.
I put a little bit on macaroni and cheese.
You know what I kind of like? Do you ever have a Monte Cristo sandwich?
Yeah.
Not in a long time.
Yummy.
Those are good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like there's something about it's like
what kind of bread do they use?
It's like French toast.
Yeah
it's like French toast sandwich, so it's got some sugar involved.
And they got ham and the French toast and it's like,
right, what do you put on it?
You put jelly in it.
No!
It's like part of the Monte Cristo, yeah. Put jelly in the Monte Cristo.
That's too sweet.
That's dumber than a hot dog and a beer.
Yeah, that is dumb.
That's like part of the Monte Cristo.
So you guys know I love conspiracy theories.
Yes.
I believe most of them.
Yes.
Even if they're not true. So yeah, here's the latest one. You know that right now on ESPN for about the past 2.5 weeks, the Little League World Series has been on.
A real World Series.
And because they have people from different countries. Yeah. But I would argue that there's people from different countries on every major league team.
Oh, that's
too,
different.
But so the other day, Iowa is playing Washington in the Little League World Series.
Washington State?
The state of Iowa. Their representative is playing the state of Washington, their representative.
Okay.
And I was up 6-3, and there's runners on first and second, and there's two outs in the last inning. The pitcher throws a perfect strike that the batter doesn't swing at, and the umpire calls it ball 4 and loads the bases. So there's a meeting on the mound, and you know these kids and the managers are mic'd. So this kid basically puts out the theory that, of course, that pitch was a strike. It should have ended the game. But ESPN fixes games at the end for more drama. If you listen carefully here, listen to the kid.
Whoever's pitching is for ESPN, so they can come back.
Okay.
That's good for because ESPN likes it. It's all ESPN.
Hey, nothing we can do about that strike call, okay? There's two outs. It's any bag, okay? We got to shake that.
Okay, so here, you listen to the kid again in the beginning.
Whoever's pitching is for ESPN, so they can come back.
Okay.
That's good for because ESPN likes it. It's all ESPN.
Hey, nothing we can do about that strike call. Okay.
So his theory is that ESPN wants drama.
Mm-hmm.
The umpires are in on it. Michael, is the kid right?
No, I don't think so at all. He's just frustrated. Obviously, he's young, frustrated because it wasn't a call strike. But no, I don't think that's ESPN's got the umpires wired.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bergman, what do you think?
I work for ESPN, so therefore, yes, I do not believe him.
Ramona, any chance this kid's right? You played in the College World Series.
Yes.
You must have got some bad calls.
Yeah, the umpire just blew it.
Right.
Like, I actually do think umpires and referees can be influenced by the situation of a game. Sometimes they just blow it. Sometimes it's, especially when it's at home, they'll give the home team they'll see it differently. They can be influenced by other calls they've made, like makeup calls sometimes. There's no way, like, just because I'm not saying this out of loyalty to the label that pays me. Okay.
Right.
It is, do you realize how hard it would be for, like, I know the executives who run this thing. Like,
right.
They're not in Williamsport. They're not there. They bought the rights a long time ago and they televise it. There's nobody like, what are they on the walkie-talkie down to the umpire?
Yes.
Hey, make sure this game is a little more dramatic.
I completely support this kid.
Whoever's pitching is for ESPN, so he can come back. That's good for ESPN.
He's right. It's for ESPN. It's fixing this strike zone so we have more drama. I am with you, kid. Adventure is out there. This is a legitimate conspiracy theory that I buy. By the way.
Did they win or lose?
They won.
Okay.
So the kid looks dumb now because they won.
I will tell you this. When we have games, like let's say it's a 7-game series.
Right.
Networks do not like sweeps because they need to, like, they lose money on a sweep.
Yep.
If it's a 4-game sweep, we lose money.
Apparently, one of the things that's going to come out in this Tim Donaghy documentary that's coming out on Netflix is that these referees, according to Donaghy, now, you know, they say he's a rogue ref that doesn't tell the truth, but according to Donaghy, these referees were told, we need these series to go as far as they can possibly go. If you're going to err on one side or the other, err on the side of the team that's behind. And that it's a real thing. You don't buy it?
I don't buy it. Now, look, can they feel that? Do they know that behind the scenes? Or are they told that? I just know who the people in my company that would be, like, theoretically telling. They don't have any connection to the refs. They don't know them. They don't even, like, there's no connection. It's not like the people who run ESPN have Tim Donaghy's cell. They don't know. Yeah. They wouldn't see him in the back corridors of the arena.
Jim Morrison living with Tupac in the jungle. And I believe most conspiracy theories, including this one. Coming up next, Michael Thompson. We always enjoy Michael's Game of Games. You want to give a preview or no?
Yes, Ramona.
Yeah.
Lost my wife's audiobook. Now I'll never hear the end of it.
Oh! That was pretty good, actually. That was pretty good.
All right, coming up next.
The number 6.
The number 6, Russell's number.
Bill Russell's number.
Okay, so that's coming up next.
It's Pepe, not multiple choice.
Pepe Montilla will join us. Momo will play. Bergman will play. Jorge will play. And then we'll head out to the live remote and do a little super crosstalk. Mason in Ireland, ESPN LA. All right, it is Game of Game Times. Michael Thompson here. Hey, real quick, because I teased it. Odell Beckham tweeted earlier today, I wouldn't trade my life for none of y'all. And Kelly Stafford, Matt Stafford's wife, said, hi, how are you? Matthew Stafford misses you, so please come back home. This was Odell Beckham's response. Laugh out loud. Mama, you know what I'm waiting on, and miss the big bro. God, it feels right. I can finally tag Matthew Stafford. Can you guys hold it down till midseason, and I'll come join late and win a ring again? Does that mean anything?
Yeah, sounds like where the heart is.
Yeah, so it's where it starts. Okay, so that was the Odell Beckham story. Michael Thompson's here. Do we have Pepe Montilla?
Yes.
All right, well, there he is.
Pepe!
Hi, Pepe!
Hey, how you doing, Michael Thompson?
What?
You keep your job as a commentator because you are not a very good comedian.
Oh, come on, Pepe.
Pepe's always hard on me.
Ramona likes my jokes.
I thought they were funny.
That's right.
Okay, so Pepe's playing. Last time Pepe played, he won. That was 2 weeks ago. Bergman's playing. Bergman has the lead. Jorge, Momo, me, and Pepe. Michael, what's the game today?
Number six got retired way too late by the NBA, so let's find out the players who wore number six and who still wear number six.
All right, now let me ask you, is this name is your buzzer game?
Yeah, name is your buzzer right, game, okay. Pepe. No multiple choice this team. This season, okay. Every player will wear a patch number six on their jersey in honor of Bill Russell, and every NBA court will have a clover-shaped logo with number six inside it, even the Laker floor. Ugh.
That'll be weird having a Celtics logo on the Laker floor.
I'd rather just have the six. We don't need the clothes.
That's right, exactly. All right, here we go. Pepe, buzzing with your name. Jorge, Ramon, everybody.
Okay.
Question number one, buzzing with your name. Number six is now the third number to be retired league-wide. What are the other two numbers retired by leagues?
Ireland.
Wow.
It is Jackie Robinson and Wayne Gretzky.
Yes, 42 and 99.
I was thinking just NBA.
Hmm. Okay.
I'll give you guys hints. This player could not help you in an emergency.
Ireland. Julius Erving.
Otherwise known as?
Dr. J.
Dr. J.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
This player is from Europe. He is called your unicorn.
Pepe got it.
Pepe.
Porzingis.
Yes.
Pepe's on the board.
This player who wore number six was a teammate of the rookie Kobe Bryant.
Greg.
It was
Jorge. He was there
first. Jorge.
Eddie Jones.
Yes.
Eddie Jones.
I was waiting on that Eddie Jones one, too.
All right, here we go.
This player who wore number six is a former Spur point guard.
Momo. Manu Ginobili.
No.
Ireland. Avery Johnson.
Yes.
All right, so it's Ireland 3, a Jorge 1, Pepe 1.
This player was nicknamed the Greyhound.
Ireland. Walter Davis.
Yes. Okay. This player has a quarterback with the same name. Plays in the league now.
Why don't I know this?
Washington State. Quarterback.
Pepe. Lou Williams?
No.
Ireland. Gardner Minshew.
No. Patriots quarterback.
Momo. Mac Jones.
No.
Did you already go?
No.
Greg, you want to guess?
Number.
Brady.
Patriots quarterback.
Tom Brady.
Mac Jones.
Give me the clue again.
He Tom Brady backed him up.
Tom Brady backed him up? Oh, Drew Bledsoe?
Yes. Was it Eric Bledsoe?
Well, that doesn't count. Go ahead, do the next one.
I'll take the point. I got it right.
No, Drew Bledsoe and Eric Bledsoe are two different people.
All right. Don't get it.
I see what Michael was doing there.
Yeah. It was a hint.
Man. This player who wears number six shares the same nickname with a NASCAR legend.
Ireland. LeBron James.
Yes, the nickname the King.
Richard Petty is the other one.
Jeez, you guys are slow. This man who wears number six currently was the sixth man of the year, a former Laker.
Pepe. Lou Williams.
No.
Sixth man of the year.
Former Laker. Currently playing in the league. Three, two.
How do I not get it? I know, me too.
Jordan Clarkson.
Oh, God.
Was he six? God, this is a ridiculous
That's game. Embarrassing for all of us that we didn't get that.
This player in the league right now is a former Laker. A Chicago Bull.
Ireland.
Okay.
Alex Caruso.
Yes.
Mm. I'm destroying you guys.
I'm terrible.
This player who wears number six, this is a good hint for you, shares the same name with former Klansman who ran for governor.
Momo. David Duke.
Yes.
Hey, you're on the board, Momo.
I get that one. Great.
You know your Klan history,
it's your white
apparently.
Supremacy, Momo.
That's the one you wanted. Yeah.
This player who wore number six is retired. He was nicknamed ISO.
Ireland.
Ireland.
Joe Johnson.
Oh, I actually knew that one.
I didn't know that.
This player who's currently in the league is a former Clipper.
Momo.
Greg. Momo.
Lou Williams.
No.
Whoa.
Oh.
Lobs.
Ireland. Greg. Blake Clifford.
No.
Greg. DeAndre Jordan.
Yes.
It's DeAndre Jordan. Greg's on the board.
This current player who wears number six was often seen on Shaqt and a Fool.
Momo.
Greg. Momo.
JaVale McGee.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, Michael, do three more.
This player who wears number six is currently in the league, was known for strip clubs.
Momo. Greg.
Momo.
Lou Williams.
Yes. There it is.
This player who wore number six retired was not related to Shaq.
Ireland.
Oh.
Royce O'Neal.
No.
Momo. Jermaine O'Neal.
Yes.
All right, last one.
What's the scores?
I'm 7, you're 4, everybody else is 1.
All right.
All right. This player who is retired was known for his crossover dribble.
Momo.
Momo.
Allen Iverson.
No.
Greg.
Greg.
Jamal Crawford.
Yes.
There you go. All right, that's okay. Michael, that was a good game, but yeah. I dominated you guys. Wow. Ireland 7, Momo 4, Greg 2. And Pepe, what the heck happened to you today?
Pepe got one.
Well, it's not a multiple choice.
you know what? I think it's a delay, too. You're on the phone.
No, he had plenty of time. Pepe, is that the only way you can win multiple choice? Is that how you took tests in school? You just guessed?
Yeah, because you know, I'm very slow, but not as slow as you.
I got more wins than you, Pepe.
John
yes.
Ireland.
Yes, Pepe.
I'm usually not in agreement with you, but I agree with you that Clue, that movie, The Clue, is not that good.
Yeah,
it's
exactly, good. Bergman. You guys are crazy. Why are you hyping up
it's
The Clue?
It's a great movie. It's hilarious.
Can you even name anybody who was in that movie?
Yes, I can't think of his name right
now. Exactly.
The main guy. I know the movie though. Right. It's not Raul Julia.
Pepe,
thank
you for playing. We'll talk to you next week, okay?
We'll try your luck again next
week.
Thank
you very much. Thank you.
All right, that's the great Pepe Montilla.
By the way, Ireland.
He's the best. Yeah. Love him.
Starting tomorrow, double points.
Oh, I need him.
Oh.
Yeah. Double points tomorrow.
I need him. Tomorrow, your game, too.
Yep, my game. So.
All right, so am I one behind you now with
you're
that victory?
Behind.
All right,
you're
so I can take the lead if I win tomorrow.
You can.
You'll come up with some game that I can't be any good at.
It's going to be very much towards Momo.
Yes.
I predict it'll be geared towards Jorge again, like every international soccer player ever.
That was so much fun, by the way. Yeah. I did that completely on purpose, and it worked great.
All right. Game of Games reminder, it's powered by Call Jacob. Winning matters. That's why after an accident, you got to call Jacob or go to jacob.com or call 844-24-JACOB. That's 844-24-JACOB. Michael, are you still going to go to the Dodger game even though Trace is not starting tonight?
Yeah, I thought Trace was going to start tonight, but he's not. But since I'm this close, 5 minutes away, if the traffic isn't too bad, I might as well go up there. And even if he doesn't play, I'll just sit up. Just for the garlic fries, it's worth going.
All right, so
they have the best garlic fries.
Do you have Trace leave you a ticket, or do you call Lon Rosen, or do you buy a ticket, or how do you get in?
Trace will leave me a ticket, but if he doesn't, I'll just buy one and go sit in the handicap section anyway. Because I can't fit in those seats.
I get that.
They make it for your size, not for me.
Yeah, they're not even good for
my size. But if there's nobody in the handicap section behind me, if people are there, I won't use them. But if the seats are empty, I just go sit up there.
And
kind of have a handicap. My legs are too long.
Yeah, the ushers don't throw you out?
No, they all know me and everything, so they're really nice.
You did that great interview with Kirsten Watson.
Yeah, as long as nobody's sitting in, nobody's using the handicap seats, they say it's okay. Yeah, okay. If somebody comes and it's their seat, I'll move.
By the way, I was thinking about the Dodgers. Is it possible, because Greg, the favorite to win the Cy Young Award right now is that kid in Florida,
Sandy
right?
Sandy Alcantara.
No, yeah. Gonsolin's going to win it.
All right, well,
easily.
Win it. No. And then the Dodgers really
don't.
Goldschmidt's going to win MVP,
most
right?
Most likely, yeah.
So the Dodgers could win 117
games.
What's
going to happen?
Not have the Cy Young Award winner or the MVP.
Gonsolin's got how many starts left, Greg?
I mean, we're still in August. He's probably got another 5-6.
Let's say he goes 4-1. Come on, he's going to win it.
Let's say Kershaw gets healthy.
Yeah.
Dustin May's stuff looks great.
Yeah, he looks good.
Gonsolin might win the Cy Young Award. Yep. Tyler Anderson's been great, and Julio Urias has been your most consistent starter.
I heard you
playoff start tomorrow. Who gets the ball game one?
Kershaw goes game one for sure, and then Gonsolin's number two, and then after that, the four pitchers are going to be Kershaw, Gonsolin,
Urias,
and Dustin May. That's going to be
and
the four.
And Anderson's odd man out.
Yeah, he'll be like the long
reliever.
Now,
would you consider
something.
What I proposed, and that is pitch Dustin May in game two so he can pitch at home and then get one of the guys that has more experience, like Urias, and pitch him in game three?
There's nothing wrong with that.
And maybe throw Gonsolin in game four?
Why does everybody always disrespect Urias?
That's what I'm saying.
Well,
thank you, Momo.
That dude is the
no,
guy
in this
is
case,
the man.
In this case, Momo, I'm suggesting put Urias in the game three slot so he can pitch on the road because he's more experienced.
Game one.
He's game one.
I give him the
ball. Ahead of Kershaw.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
All right, Jorge, hit the super crosstalk thing. And today, Sedano and Cap are live on the road. Sedano, where are you? And set the scene. Where are you guys at today?
We are at Homebound Brew House at Union Square Station.
Okay, about a mile from here.
Yeah, and it's like it's a big spot for the Dodger Express, basically. People get picked up here, and they go to the Dodger game.
Hey, Michael, so you could go over and see Sedano and Cap and take the Dodger Express to the game.
Too much
Michael's
work.
Not going on no Dodger Express.
No, definitely not.
Definitely not.
Too many germs for Michael.
Yeah, too many shoulders to rub.
Yeah. All right, so did you hear, I can't remember if I brought this up with you guys in Crosstalk yesterday, did you hear my payroll dilemma, Sedano?
Oh, I did hear you. You did the right thing.
Would you have done the
wait,
same?
Wait, what happened?
Would you, Cap?
Wait, hold right. on, what happened?
Yeah, Cap.
He got paid double.
All right, so Cap.
When? Biden, because his new deal kicked in.
My new deal started and they forgot to cancel my old deal. So over the weekend, my wife figured out that for the past 5 weeks, I've been getting paid double. Yeah. Did I, Cap, did I make a
mistake? Cappy would have totally ran with the money.
Okay, yeah. That's what I'm saying, Cap. Should I Bergman and Jorge say I should have kept my mouth shut and see if they ever discovered it. Instead, I sent an email to Scott McCarthy and said, hey, there's an accounting error. You're paying me too much. How do I pay it back? Cap, which way would you have gone? Would you have gone Bergman and Sedano, or Bergman and Briones
Jorge,
and not said a word? Or would you have been a chump like me and turned yourself in?
Yeah, I definitely would not have turned myself in.
Yeah,
I would not.
Cap would have been like, wait, I got how many kids in college?
Yeah. But I would have thought to myself, okay, so I think this is what I should normally get paid, but I got paid a lot more. There must be a reason. Somebody must like me more now.
That's what he thought of.
And that's my excuse. And so when somebody eventually comes to me and they go, hey, you got to pay that back. You go,
oh,
no.
Speaking of weird, strange, potentially nefarious things, yeah. Ireland, I have a bone to pick with the city of Manhattan Beach where you live.
Okay, what is it?
So the other day I went to lunch at Nick's, as
yep,
you, I'm
know
sure
right
you've
where
been
it's
to
at.
A million times. Yeah. So it was the, you know, the Manhattan Beach Volleyball Open was going on. So there was admission to park, but I found a meter. And you know this, the meters are $2 per hour, max 2 hours, right?
Right.
So I get to a meter that had 25 minutes on it. So I'm like, oh, great. So I maxed it out. So it was like $3.25, right? So it maxes it out for 2 hours. It's around 11 o'clock. I figured I'll be done by 1 o'clock. I got to pick up Mateo at preschool or whatever. I'm good to go. So I have lunch at Nick's. I come back. I get to my car. I look at – because I see it from a mile away. I'm like, they gave me a parking ticket. And I'm like, there's no way. I maxed that thing out. And I look at my phone. It says 12:49. I look at the ticket. It says 12:39. They gave me the ticket. I'm like, that's a bunch of BS. There's no way that actually happened.
George.
And I'm looking at the meter, and it's flashing red. Your city is stealing people's money.
Wow, your city. Yeah, are you the mayor?
No, this is a racket. And now they got you. They got me about 2 months ago. And here's the thing. If you go to court and fight it, they'll dismiss it. But it's not worth wasting your time to go to court and fight it. Hire Jacob Imrani.
So we called Imrani to see if I got
Imrani.
If I had a class action suit that we could all get in on. He said it was too much hard to prove, but he said that I should absolutely fight it just on principle because I could pay the $53. Although I could see why Manhattan Beach is so nice because they're charging $53 for an expired meter, for God's sake.
Yeah, but you know what? People were hitting me up with a bunch of feedback on this. And they were saying that now these new meters.
No, this meter does not have. No, it does not have that.
Now, I've often said that if in situations like these, if I was the president of the United States, I would defer to my minister of common sense. And the person I would hire for that job happens to be sitting here. Michael, always have good answers to these situations. Should Sedano fight the ticket or just bite the bullet and pay the $53?
Well, if you don't mind putting in the energy and the time and the stress, if you don't want to do all that, just pay the $53 and realize that you got.
I, you know me, Michael. I love a good fight.
Oh, okay.
So
you'll win.
I mean, you know,
you'll win, George.
Oh. And,
the sad thing is, you shouldn't have to waste your time fighting it, but now you do.
I called my bank because I'm like, there's got to be some sort of like time my card swiped, and the lady said, 11:02, and I'm like, so there's no way. Based on that thing should have been expired.
Yeah, and the second you explain that to the judge will side with you. He'll dismiss the ticket. But the problem is, you're like me. You've got like six jobs.
Right.
And you've got two kids.
Yes.
And I don't know. You know that the day you decide to go to court, you're going to be like the 17th person on the docket. And you're going to be there all morning. Wait, Cap, you wouldn't fight it, would you?
No. Well, listen, I'm like George in this way. When it comes to principle, now let's go back a quick second here. When it comes to being overpaid, I'm not going to fight being overpaid by returning the money. But when it comes to being screwed over by a meter, on principle alone, I got to go fight. I've actually even offered George that I would go represent him in court.
No, definitely not.
I think that's a loss. Idea. I think that's, yeah. I mean, 100%. They would find you so annoying that they would.
No way. Yeah. No way. I have been there and done that before, and I have won in small claims court because I make compelling, persuasive arguments.
Okay, by the way, we had Sedano on the show earlier, Cap, but I wanted to get your side of the story.
Wait, why? But real quick, John.
Yeah.
Because you said they did the same thing to you.
Yeah.
We should go and fight, man. We should, like, picket in front of the Manhattan Beach.
Yes.
City Hall.
I don't know if I should tell you how my mind got resolved.
Just paid it.
No.
Tell us. Come on.
Did you pull a, I'm John Ireland. I work for the Lakers. Or no?
Did you tweet at him?
No, I brought it up on the air, and Jacob and Ronnie sent me an envelope with $100 in it.
That's funny.
He goes, John,
that's very funny.
You were wronged. Here's $100.
Wow.
So I actually made money on the deal. Michael, are you leaving us?
You $100.
All right, Michael is off.
Me too.
Michael is off to Dodger Stadium.
Good
luck tonight. The question I had for you, Cap.
Wait, John Ireland, I just want to ask the question. So how did this whole thing get resolved? Did you write a check and return the money
to ESPN?
Yeah.
No, they gave me two choices. They said, I called Scott. Put me in touch. Scott McCarthy put me in touch with the woman who runs finance for Disney. She reviewed the case and said, this is our screw up. You have two choices. You can write us a check for the overpayment, or we can just deduct it.
Tell her you don't have any checks.
No, she said we can just deduct it from your future earnings. I said, just do that.
Wow.
So they're going to deduct it from... I already have the money.
I have almost the opposite thing going on. So when you go on maternity leave, there's this whole weird thing. They you know, you don't get your full salary when you're on maternity leave. You're supposed to make it up.
Really?
Yeah.
That ain't right.
Yeah, you have to make it up with the long-term disability, or you have to file state disability and blah, blah, blah.
Wow.
It's really annoying. Yeah. So, and then all of a sudden, the other day, I got a bill from Disney, like they were charging me for my benefits. Like, I'm supposed to write a check to Disney for, like, $300. I'm like, wait, what? How does that work? Like, you're the one.
They overpaid me, and they screwed you.
Yeah, but I think I just need to call and be like, this is, you guys just did something weird here. I don't understand that.
John, is there any chance that they would not have found out that they overpaid you? Or do you think, like, 6 months from now, they would have come to you at the end of the year, and they would have audited their books, and they would have said,
you
know what? We overpaid Ireland.
I asked the Disney finance woman, who was very nice. I said, okay, now that I've come clean about this, and I'm going to make the company whole, had I done nothing, would somebody eventually have caught this? And her answer was not necessarily. She said, we've got a lot of moving parts.
Yeah.
She said, I would say there are people in this company less honest than you that are taking advantage of situations like this. And it made me feel worse, Cap.
Yeah.
It made me feel like I should have taken
your
angle. No,
you did the right thing. It's good karma. It's also, it would have been really awkward if, like, 2 years from now somebody said, John, did you notice this was happening? I mean,
no, I noticed nothing.
Right. That's why, but that's why, Ramona, that's why it's not bad karma, because if he does it without knowing, if he takes the money, but it's unbeknownst to me, I just thought my new contract paid me a whole lot more. I mean, that's really, that could have been a legitimate excuse.
Yeah, I probably could have played dumb and see if they caught it, but I would have known, Cap. I would have had a guilty conscience. All right.
So, real quick, go ahead. John, you were going somewhere else.
Yeah,
sorry.
Well, I was just going to ask Cap what I asked you about earlier, the Tony Danza situation. So, yesterday...
Yeah.
Tony Danza called the station looking for Dr. Clapper.
Yeah.
And
how are you?
It got weird. We actually pulled a clip of this. This was yesterday on the Sedano and Cap show. Okay. All right. So that beep beep, Cap, was Tony Danza calling you guys effing a-holes.
That's right.
I
like to call it bleeping bleep holes, but
But I don't understand what you guys did to deserve that. Why was he mad at you? What is your assessment of why he called you that?
Well, here's what I think happened. I think that Tony Danza had in his phone Dr. Clapper, and he had a contact for Clapper, and he probably had two or three numbers, cell phone, home phone, you know, and office phone and whatever. And for some reason, he must have called the hotline at some point.
Right, and he probably has the area code number, not the 800 number to the hotline.
Right. So the thing is that he's calling, looking for Dr. Clapper, thinking he's calling the office. But here we are, bunch of slappies. Yeah. Like, hold on. This is Tony.
But
Gaines.
I didn't think no, you wait, said anything disparaging. Matter of fact, Sedano was the opposite. He was like, really? Tony Danza's on the phone? Put him on the air. Yeah. I didn't think, George, I didn't think you were disrespectful, either one of you guys.
No, Cappy did say, though, is he
did he manage the CarMax in Irvine? Well, I mean, yeah, get a sense of humor.
I mean. But wait a second. He also, I love how George, though, like right away, he was like, all right, call Clapper. We got to get Clapper on the phone. George never told Clapper. I was like, forget Clapper. Yeah. Forget about Clapper. Get him on with us.
Yeah.
Well, so I don't think Tony Danza was calling me, George, Lindsay, and Laura effing a-holes, bleep holes. I think he was thinking that the office was screwing around with him in some way.
Gotcha.
And that we couldn't get our stuff together.
Did you guys know that Tony Danza, very briefly, while he was becoming a successful actor in the 70s, was a professional boxer?
Yeah, 12 fights.
Yeah, 9-3.
Yeah.
All of his fights ended in knockouts. He had 9 knockouts as a winner, and he was knocked out 3 times as a loser, and then he got out of it. But
you know my favorite role for Tony Danza, and I wouldn't have thought about this on the spot yesterday, but I've had time to think about it. Do you guys know the movie Hollywood Nights?
I've heard of it. Yeah, isn't Stallone in it?
No, not Stallone. Tony Danza's in it, and Robert Wohl. You guys remember the show Arliss?
Yeah,
that was a great movie, and Tony Danza was in that movie. It's one of my faves.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of faves, Momo is obviously a fave for everyone. She won the Mandy Award for the greatest fill-in here on 710 ESPN. Momo, I was asking Cappy the other day, because he always kept referring to you as Ramona.
Yeah.
I'm like, do you ever refer to her as Momo? And he's like, no. And I'm like, you haven't graduated to that. That's the problem. So when can Cappy call you Momo?
Oh, you can call me Momo. That's
I mean,
okay.
Listeners call her Momo.
Yeah. I call myself Momo. Like, when I talk to myself, I think I refer to myself as Momo now.
Yeah.
It's become a thing.
I feel like for some reason, I'm very formal. I like to call you Ramona.
By the way, I like that you do that.
Quick review of the Hollywood Nights IMDb page.
Yeah. Michelle Pfeiffer.
Right.
Is in that movie.
Yeah. Fran Drescher, the nanny.
Come on, new bum. Let's go. I'm back here. I'm all hot and ready to go. What's going on? What's going on, new bum?
Mike Binder is in that movie. There's a lot of people that went on to bigger and better things after Hollywood Nights.
Yeah, great movie. Hollywood Nights, they drive me crazy.
All right, so do you guys have a full show from Union Station?
Yeah.
You're on till 7?
3 hours, baby.
Oh, yeah. I love it. Okay, so if you want to, you can go down and see Sedano and Cap. Where are you inside Union Station, George?
We're at the Homebound Brew House, so when you get in, you'll see the huge 710 ESPN flags. You'll hear Beto screaming as you hear him in the background.
There you go. Hi, Beto.
So you can't miss it. When you pull into Union Station, we're right at the right.
You'll see
all the where the taxis are lined up.
All right.
I'm going to say right now, people are already drinking. Like, people are already
God
ready.
Bless
them. Down.
God, yeah, that's why they have transportation to go to the Dodger game. There you go. All right, so that's it for Momo and I. Stay tuned. Sedano and Cap live from Union Station next, ESPN LA.